And a very good evening to everybody. The program coming up next is Off the Hook here on WBAI New York. It's 7:01. Stay tuned.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. We couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. Oh, they live on for the best, expect the worst. I hope that's understood. One diddly mo!
Good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Manuel Goldstein here with you on this Wednesday evening, joined tonight by Rob T. Firefly.
Good evening.
And Kyle.
Hi, I'm here.
And down in somewhere, Bernie S. on the phone.
Greetings from Portland, Maine.
You're kidding, right?
I was just camping for the past few days. I'm in Portland, Maine right now.
That's a surprise. I didn't know you were traveling. Okay, but Portland, Maine. What's the area code there, Bernie?
What's the area code?
Yeah.
I would guess it's 917. It's 907. I don't know. I haven't been using the phone for days.
907? That's Alaska, Bernie. We were just there. You could have picked a better
right.
one than that.
So what is it for Portland? You should know.
It used to be people would know these things. People would know the area codes for geographic areas, and nobody knows this anymore. Sad.
We'll have to call Mike Unas. He would know.
Yes, expert of days past on area codes. But, you know, when the area codes stopped being geographical and started having all kinds of digits in the middle, it got a lot harder. But, you know, Maine is no excuse because I think Maine still has one. And it's an interesting bit of folklore here. It's not folklore because it's true. If your original area code in your state had a zero in the middle, it meant that was the only area code for the entire state. So, for instance, New Mexico, 505, Colorado, 303, Alaska, 907, Hawaii, 808, only one area code, and the zero in the middle indicated that. I don't know why they felt it necessary to do it that way. But a place like New York, a one in the middle, 212. 914, 516, 315, 518, 716. I'm only listing the old ones, not new ones like 718. And then it got crazy, and they started introducing 347 and 646, and, you know, ones that didn't make any sense at all, and that rule went out the window. But if you go back to the old days, you'll be able to figure out how many area codes are in a state just by looking at the middle digit. How cool is that?
It's very cool, and I've noticed that they don't have 10-digit dialing here. It's just 7-digit dialing, because all the local businesses signs and billboards and business signs all have a 7-digit phone number with no area code. And I've noticed that there were no Verizon trucks up here, because I think about 6 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, Verizon sold their entire landline plant to a company called First Choice or something. That is the incumbent local exchange carrier for the entire state of Maine. It's not Verizon.
I love it when they come up with a name that doesn't apply. First Choice. It was no choice. It didn't have...
Well, only choice, they should call it. Only choice.
Wow. Well, that's interesting. So here we are, again, on this particular day of the week. And the station turns me into a liar sometimes. Many times, actually. Because I said 2 weeks ago on these very airwaves that we would not be doing more fundraising because we were only on for 1 week. We were preempted last week, and sure enough, we were. However, we were told that the fund drive was extended. I believe it's extended through tonight. Tonight's the last night? Is that?
I believe so. It's the last night.
So this is the home stretch, and we're a part of it. So I'm sorry, people, for lying. I didn't know I was lying at the time. But we are still in fundraising mode. And to make matters even, well, better or worse, depending on your outlook, we're on for an extra hour. So the personal computer people managed to get off scot-free tonight, but we're staying for an extra hour and hopefully getting your phone calls as far as pledges. But here's something else that might make the whole thing a little bit more palatable. We are actually going to be taking phone calls from listeners on the air. Even though we don't have an incoming phone line, we're going to pull that off. So we told people when we came in, you know, we're going to do this. We're going to take phone calls tonight. And they were like, how are you going to do that? Okay. And we said, did we say watch? No, we said listen, right?
Listen,
yeah, because
yes.
We don't want them watching. We want them to listen. And yeah, we'll do it. We will take phone calls because we're hackers and that's what we do. So, yeah, we apologize for that. But we have a couple of premiums. Let's go over the premium we had last time, which was the hacker calendar, which I happen to have a copy of right here. So we can actually look at certain dates. Rob C. Firefly, why don't you pick a date at random and tell the folks what happened in the hacker world on that particular day.
Ooh.
And then we'll tell people how they can get their very own hacker calendar autographed by all of us here at Off the Hook.
Okay, well, randomly turning to the 16th of April, that was a few things happened that day. That was the day the original specification for the file transfer protocol was written by Abe Busan in 1971.
FTP.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Also that day, in 1977, the Apple II was introduced at the West Coast Computer Fair in 1977.
You see, these are things that are not on any other calendar. These are things that are of interest to hackers. And you'll get to know certain dates and what they mean, the significance. And you'll remember certain things, too, that you can't believe was so long ago.
Yes, indeed. Also on that date, the 16th of April, 1993, was when the White House announced the ill-fated Clipper chip. Remember that?
Yes, I sure do. Bernie, I know you do. You blew one up once.
That's right. We blew one up at the was it the first? Was it the very first HIP conference?
It was first one. It was almost the very last one, too.
Yes, we used an ascent. You know, we didn't talk about the Clipper chip. It was a backdoor encryption algorithm built into a chip that was supposed to be mandated for all secure phones, or so-called secure phones in the United States. And we did talk about how bad an idea this was. And at the end of the conference, at the closing ceremonies, we actually detonated it with an M80. It made a big bang. I wanted it to go off with a bang, and it did.
Yeah, and actually that's captured for all time on video. I believe if you go to our YouTube channel 2600, you can find that particular talk. It was the closing ceremonies of the first HOPE in 1994. And boy, what a lot of fun that was. And hopefully we will have another HOPE next year. In 2016, we are starting the process of figuring out if we really want to go through with this again. And if so, then we'll get all the details to you over the radio waves, as well as over our website, hope.net. Okay, so lots has happened in the last 2 weeks since we were here last, including this rather major news story about how every Android phone is woefully insecure. Millions of phones, in fact, they're even saying a billion people, running Google's Android operating system can be hijacked by a malicious text message. It's a reminder of something that became clear a long time ago. Google made a mistake when it created Android that endangers the security of people who entrust their personal lives to devices running it. Those opinions are not necessarily ours. They come from one Tom Simonite from the MIT Technology Review. He goes on to say, the problem is not that Android has security holes. All software does. The problem is that Google lacks an effective way to fix them. When security problems are discovered in Microsoft's Windows operating system or Apple's mobile or desktop equivalents, those companies can push out an update to affected computers. You get a message telling you to install the update direct from the company who made the software. But in the case of Microsoft Windows, in addition, Microsoft Windows 10, which is being released, I think it was actually released already, was it not?
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Such updates are automatic and mandatory for home users. Now, the model doesn't always work perfectly. Apple has been accused of being too slow to roll out important security patches. But Google cannot push you for an update for Android. It hands out the operating system to device manufacturers for free. They get to tinker with it, to add features or apps of their own, and are the only ones, along with cellular carriers in some cases, that can push updates to the devices they sell. Google does bind companies that use Android with some restrictions, for example, things having to do with using its app store, but it does not require them to push out security updates quickly. So that leaves users of Android devices unable to avail themselves of what security experts say is the most important strategy for staying safe, at least according to researchers at none other than Google itself. They reported recently on a survey that asked computer security pros how they stay safe. Applying security updates emerged as the experts' number one priority. So basically, there's a bunch of workarounds that Google has come up with for their what is described here as their flawed security model. It has shunted many key functions into apps that it can push updates to via its App Store. But that doesn't cover all of Android, and the App Store doesn't have a way to signal to you whether an app wants to update for security reasons or just to add new features. The text message vulnerability that was revealed very recently cannot be fully fixed by upgrading apps, and it's not unlikely that most vulnerable phones will never get the security patches for Android that Google has developed and will offer up to manufacturers and cellular operators. Interesting. I'm kind of scared just reading this, seeing what the potential is for just getting this. I think it's disguised as a multimedia message of one sort or another, and if you get this message, you don't even have to open it. Just getting this message will allegedly, according to these reports, infect your phone. And, of course, the news reports say hackers will be able to do all sorts of things, as if hackers were the only people that would do something. Criminals of all sorts, governments, corporations, you name it, anybody can take advantage of this gaping hole to do nefarious things. And they say there's no evidence that's actually been used yet. So I guess we have to see if all the fear is warranted. Bernie, I know you don't have an Android phone, right?
No, neither I nor Kyle have Android phones. We have BlackBerry phones, which are allegedly more secure. One fix I've heard for this, a temporary workaround, is to disable your phone's ability to automatically download MMS messages as opposed to SMS messages. There is a setting you can say don't automatically download MMS messages. That will allow you to peruse them and see if they're from someone you trust, and then you can download them individually.
It'll just take you a half hour to find out where that setting is on your phone, but once you do that, you can
right.
Just turn that off. And I've noticed, but speaking of updates to Android phones, I've noticed that many times I'm alerted that certain apps want to update, and many of them say, this app needs your permission to update. And I never give permission. Just swipe it away. And then I find out later those apps updated without my permission. How do you like that? So, if this didn't happen, I would have a whole lot of apps that were still wanting to update, and I have none that want to update because they all did it behind my back. And I've caught them in the act, too. I've turned on my phone, and I see 50 different things updating, in the process of updating. Nothing that I've given permission for. I don't know if I just have a bad relationship with this phone or if that's standard operating practice. I'd like to hear from other people who may have experienced similar things.
Generally, when you have an app that just updates itself without asking permission, that's an app that doesn't need any additional permissions for your phone. Each app on your phone needs permission to use certain parts of your phone, like the ability to see your call history or your contact list or your saved files or other stuff, depending on what the app is and what it needs to do. So when the requirements of the app change from version to version, that's when it's supposed to ask you permission, I believe, is the way it works. But if it doesn't need to ask you permission for any changes, then it'll just update itself because it doesn't care, because it needs the same permissions it always did.
Well, just continuing with this story just for a moment to give more details as to the specifics. The particular flaw exists in Android's media tool, which is called Stage Fright, and I've never used it. So I don't know if that doesn't make me safe. I know that, but it's just interesting. Now, this is one of these articles. This comes from a site, Inquisitor.com, where Inquisitor is spelled wrong, and you have to figure out how. But it's one of these news stories that basically points the finger at hackers as, again, the only people that could possibly take advantage of this. Hackers only need to have a victim's Android mobile phone number to send a remote code execution bug that exploits Android's Stage Fright flaw. The Android hacking code would be written into a seemingly innocent multimedia message that gets sent to the phone, and while the hacker would then be able to snoop around areas of the phone that Android stage fright's security permissions allow, a hacker, boy, I don't like this place. I don't like this site at all. It just keep pounding into your head that hackers are evil, and you hear that so many times, so many different places.
Yeah, there's enough places in the world saying that.
Yeah, well, I'm going to say it again just so I can prove how many there are. A hacker would still be able to access stored photos and videos, including those stored in an attached SD card. They could record audio and videos. They could access the Android device's Bluetooth, all sorts of fun things. And you know what? My view on this is that if it's possible, you should do it. If you know how to do this, go crazy. Hack away and figure out how to be as nefarious as possible. Have your voice come out of people's phones. Change their background picture. Download their contact list. Let us know, though, when you do it. Instead of half the articles that that you read these days on hackers, I don't know if people notice this, but half of them simply come from PR pieces that are put out by people either selling something or people who want you to attend a conference or something like that. If you look in just about every single story, you don't get the full story. You get up to a certain point, and then, oh, by the way, the details will be released at a future date. In other words, the details have not yet been released, yet it's a major story. When the details get released, that is when I really take an interest. I want to know about this. I want to see how it works. I don't want to have to buy some guy's corporate security software package to figure it out. Lots of times you read these stories and it's a security expert talking about something, and they give his website, and that particular website, when you go to it, will tell you how you can be more secure and not scared to death like you just were reading the story and hearing him describe how insecure things were. Bernie, you think I've got it right as far as that goes?
Yeah, it's pretty much how it is, Emmanuel, and I agree with you. People should exploit this thing, because the more it's exploited, the more likely that Google will pressure mobile carriers to push out rollouts. Because, you know, as the article you originally read stated, the mobile telcos, you know, Sprint, Verizon, T-Mobile, and AT&T Wireless, they typically don't push out like small updates like this. They wait for a major operating system upgrade before they push these out to the Android phones. So you're not going to get any results soon unless you call your mobile carrier and say, what are you going to do to fix this? And if they see that it's a real problem that's happening more frequently, they might actually do something about it.
Very, very true. Go ahead, Kyle.
There's two things here that I think. One is clicking things erroneously. It's a classic thing that with spam and malware and things in the past, like it's for quite a while been a good rule of thumb is be very vigilant about things that pop up and things that you receive in all user interfaces on all devices. It's prudent to be very critical of things, especially things that come out of nowhere or seem overly friendly or a little too perfect or not. So that's one thing. And the other thing is the encouragement of diversity, or at least the consistency, like what Bernie said about pushing updates. I mean, the platform itself, Android specifically, is fairly open. It's fairly capable as far as people designing things, modifying it, and building it the way they want it to be built or to run, or and on devices of their choice. But part of that disconnect, like that lack of coordination or the freedom of it that therein, I think, keeps it from being consistent or consistently supported as far as updates go. So it is a little bit sort of, I think, early still for that operating system to get really mature to a point where it's maintained, especially given the amount of people that depend on it.
Yeah, that's part of the problem with the Android platform right now is that the install base is completely fragmented because, as you said, each company, each provider, each manufacturer gets the updates, and then when they're good and ready, pushes them to their customers. So what that means is that you've got all sorts of different versions of Android running around out there in the wild. And with any other, with most other platforms, computers, what have you, you can upgrade your operating system when an upgrade comes out, whether it's a commercial product like Windows or whether it's a free one like Linux. If an update comes out, you can go and get that update and apply it. But with Android, you don't always even have that option. unless you've done things like root your device and use alternative ROMs and things like that. So it's kind of troublesome for Android users now who maybe want to upgrade and, you know, try and stave off vulnerabilities like this, but don't even have the option because whoever happened to build their phone hasn't gotten around to providing it for them.
One other comment. This really reminds me, I don't know, Rob, if you feel the same way, but it reminds me a lot of like 90s stuff with like the ubiquity of Windows machines being then a target because so many people have it. And you're likely to see a little bit more of this kind of stuff because it is such a huge target. There are tons of Android devices out there, and people, I think, that would like to exploit this or have the motive to are really going to exploit this fragmentation and kind of disparate installation base. It just is sort of, I guess, discombobulated. It's out of sync. It's not all sort of moving at the same pace. It's, but in this case, it's exaggerated. It's quite a bit different than the sort of stratification of Windows installs and stuff that we did see back in the 90s.
I just wanted to bring up one other story before we move on. And that comes from a site known as Kim Komando. I don't know if you've ever heard of that particular radio.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
This is just another example of what I'm talking about. They're talking about the dangers of using Wi-Fi, the dangers of using public Wi-Fi at hotels, coffee shops, other places. A hacker on the same network, yes, a hacker, only a hacker, can snoop on your internet browsing if you aren't careful, or even slip a virus onto your computer if it's set up wrong. Now, what if the hacker didn't even have to be in the same building? What if they would be? They could be miles away and high up in the air? That's the dream of the Italian company, wait for it, the hacking team. So what this particular hacker expert or technology expert is saying is that the hacking team is composed of hackers. That is the definition of it's so ironic. It's really making me grit my teeth so hard. If you haven't heard the name, they mistakenly say the hacking company, but they mean to say the hacking team, specializes in digital spying and sells the information it finds to governments around the world, including governments trying to silence dissidents and committing human rights abuses. So at the end of this story, what winds up happening is that they refer to hackers as the threat here. Instead of needing dozens of hackers roaming around to canvas the city's Wi-Fi hotspots, you just need a few drones. And no one at any hotspot would be the wiser. If that's a worry for us in America, you can imagine it would be a nightmare for political dissidents in a less free country. In other words, hackers are the threat to dissidents in these foreign countries because they're the ones that are eavesdropping on them and selling these exploits to oppressive governments. It is just so frustrating because that is exactly what hackers do not do. That is what corporate drones, if you forgive the expression, will do when they're trying to ally themselves with those in the technological world who look up to hackers. They say, yeah, we're hackers. We'll do this. We'll sell you this. That's not what a hacker does. And it's just so incredibly frustrating to see corporate America just buy into this. And to see the name get subverted even more than it already was. Any thoughts on that, Bernie?
Yes, I've lost count of the number of talks we've had at Hope conferences over the past 20 years of hackers who've developed some means or technology to empower whistleblowers and activists and dissidents, political dissidents, to remain private and not have their communications eavesdropped by some evil foreign government or domestic government or so-called hacking team company. As you pointed out, this is exactly the opposite of what hackers typically do. Just because a company calls themselves the hacking team doesn't mean they're made up of hackers. They're made of greedy people who thrive financially in endangering other people's privacy, frankly.
Yeah, I think a good test of these sort of things, if you hear of something being done or, you know, being presented by hackers and you want to verify the veracity of this term, see if they're trying to sell you something that you don't understand or see if they're trying to help you understand something. Because I think the kind of hackers that, you know, or maybe fill up this room right now and maybe do the things that we talk about here. That I think that's there is a whole community of hackers out there that will not just try and sell you something, you know, incomprehensible and make some money and keep you scared, because that's not what the hacker community is all about.
Correct. Yeah. And yeah, it's extremely frustrating and annoying, and we need to speak out against that whenever it happens.
Yeah, I think the amount of information about how things actually work is really low by comparison to the fear and the kind of hyperbole that we've heard in the context. I mean, really, you want people to understand how to use these networks safely and how to use machines and software safely, not scare them away from the resource or from the technology itself.
All right. I mentioned the Hacker Calendar before. I don't think I gave the phone number out on how you can get your own copy. That phone number is 212-209-2950. Pledge of $50 will get you an autographed copy of the 2016 Hacker Calendar that features all kinds of interesting facts. Rob, you got another date to read to us as far as something that happened in the hacker world? And in addition to virtually every day of the year having some bit of history attached to it, we have no less than 14 full-color, glossy pictures of payphones from around the world. And that's really, really cool. I know, Kyle, you were involved in the selection process.
Yes, heavily, heavily involved. And these submissions are lovingly sent to us from people all over, really, just who travel, who maybe are from one place or the other. They visit someplace. They bring back these incredible, gorgeous photos. And really, we get so many that it is hard to get them into our regular section of the magazine. So we tend to go through and find the best. And this is really the fun part, is digging through, sifting through many different locations, coming up with themes, sub-themes, parallel themes. It really is an art to come up with this collection. And it ends up being 14, I think, really gorgeous photos of really hundreds, maybe more, that we go through. And then we come up with some information about each location and the submission, who sent it to us. We definitely notify everyone who's involved. And then we populate the days with really fascinating hacker-related milestones in history.
Yes, and virtually every day of the year has something that happened in the hacker world. So that's what makes it really, really interesting. Again, 212-209-2950 is our phone number. For a $50 pledge, you will get the 2016 Hacker Calendar autographed by everybody at Off the Hook. And you will never again wonder when something happened in hacker history, when a particular site was hacked, when a particular product was started that everybody uses today, or when a bit of freedom was signed away into some horrible bill. We have it all. We have all kinds of really, really interesting things. And you'll benefit from all that by calling 212-209-2950. But most of all, you'll be supporting the radio station and keeping shows like Off the Hook on the air.
And I'd point to also the fact that we've kept this very fresh, very current. I know you worked really hard and got a lot more real kind of prescient, recent stuff that is important to reflect on over the next year. And it's a good reminder of the kind of work that hackers are involved with and the kind of important steps that technology and society's conception of of technology, their use of it, it's how it's been influenced and how that direction has been shaped by hackers.
There are dates in there from 2015 and from last year, 2014. It's updated constantly. When something major happens, we either know about it or we're alerted to it, and we simply add it into to the list of dates. And it's my hope that in the next year or so, we will fill in any blank dates that are left, because there are a couple, but less and less every year. And if we know of a blank date, well, maybe we should make an extra effort to make sure something gets hacked on that day.
Yeah, that's what I think we've been encouraging
especially young people that are you know, on the verge of their first big triumphant hack, we like to schedule them and let them know what dates are work for them.
Yes, but we want to be careful. We want to make sure people are responsible because we want people to do the right thing as well. You know, be mischievous and learn how technology works.
I'm embellishing.
You know, we got a letter from somebody who said we're radicalizing people. Here on the radio. Yeah, we got a letter saying that we're radicalizing. How do you like that? We'll read that letter a little bit later.
Is this radical in the 1980s sense of like, wow, that's radical? Or
No, I don't think so. I don't think so at all. You have a date for us?
I do. I opened this randomly to February 2015, and there's all sorts of good things going on. Of course, this is the 2015 calendar I'm holding in my hand. You'll be getting the 2016 calendar. But we have things like the first telephone book was a single page, published by the District Telephone Company of New Haven, Connecticut, on the 21st of February, 1878. We have things like the 10th of February, Deep Blue becomes the first machine to win a chess game against a reigning world champion, Garry Kasparov, in 1996.
What date is this?
That's the 10th of February, 1996. This happened on the 10th of February, 1996. Also, Takedown.com was hijacked by the Mitnick Liberation Front.
Oh wow, I remember that.
Yes, indeed.
As a spectator, not as a participant.
As a spectator. Whatever, like, there are so many different categories of things you'll find in here. You know, things of just scientific and interest, like the 19th of February, Soviet Union launches the Mir spacecraft, 1986. There's stuff particular to hacker history. The first bulletin board system goes online, established by Ward Christensen, 1978, wow. On the 16th of February.
It's all here. The new, the old, all over the world, all kinds of history. Let me ask you, Rob, do we have an entry for today?
Do we have an entry for today?
Does anybody know what month it is?
This is the 5th of August today.
Is it the 5th of August already?
Wow, nothing... There is nothing here for the 5th of
August. So today is one of those days. Folks, you have about, well, I guess if we count the West Coast, it would count as today. But you have about 4.5 hours or so to hack something and get it into the papers and make it like something really monumental so that it'll go into the 2017 calendar when that's done.
As of when the 2015 calendar was printed, there was nothing listed for the 5th. But for the 6th, the World Wide Web Project was announced on Usenet by Tim Berners-Lee.
Now you
6th
know.
6th of August, 1991.
Now you know you can celebrate that fact tomorrow.
Yes,
right
indeed.
And early. Celebrate the birth of the World Wide Web.
You can also celebrate the anniversary of the first chaos communication camp in Altlandsberg, Germany, 1999, on the 6th of August.
Really?
Yes, indeed.
I think we have the one that's about to begin in there as well. Is that the same date, or is that a day further in advance? Oh, you know what? You're looking at last year's calendar.
I'm looking at the 2015 calendar.
There. But okay, if you were looking at the one that doesn't exist yet because it's being printed right now, then you would see that particular date.
Which you might be if you're listening to this on MP3 in the mysterious future.
212-209-2950 is our phone number. $50 pledge gets you the brand new 2016 hacker calendar filled with all kinds of dates and amazing images of payphones. Tell us something about the payphone that you're looking at right now, August 2015. What payphone is that?
This is a payphone in Morocco. The photo is by Leo. I'm going to say this wrong. Leo Gaetier Whiting, but it's a beautiful looking phone kiosk in Morocco. Very obviously, sort of Moroccan wall behind it, and it's a very interesting design of payphone. It looks like something out of the Jetsons. I mean, you guys can see this. It's sort of nice and orange and blue, and it's got this saucer looking thing on top.
Hold that up a little bit. You did not glare there. Okay, yeah, that's really not. Look at that, folks. That's something else. That's the kind of image you will get. You can have that in your kitchen. You can have it in your bedroom. You could hang it up in your car if you want. We don't care where you put it, but it's. A calendar, a full-size wall calendar that you will prize and treasure every day of the year. And you know what? It even works this year, too. The last 4 months of this year are in there, just in case you want to get a head start.
Yeah, and these photos are very high quality, very sharp, very pretty. I mean, you could take these pages and save them when the month passes and just have some nice posters because they are beautiful images. And payphones are, I think, a beautiful piece of technology that deserve another look.
Yeah, it's the largest that we can print in any publication we do. These photos are the largest ones that we've done, and we pay special attention to make sure that they're cropped in the right way, make sure that they're filling out the space that we've allocated for them, and that they are of high quality. So, because we get kind of a range sent in, but mm-hmm. it really is cool how they come out, and just a lot of the beautiful, beautiful color and stuff that you've just different shapes and designs are amazing. There's a huge variety with payphones around the world if people aren't familiar.
And what's amazing, you alluded to this earlier, Kyle, is that people send us these photos from around the world. Now, we've been publishing the magazine since 1984, and the payphone photos evolved over time.
And it's a really mainstream. It's really popular now. Like, there's got to be, like, half a dozen different, like, payphone-dedicated sites.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm pretty sure the magazine, and it started here with 2600 and Off the Hook. I mean, it's a very popular thing now to photograph payphones, but
yeah, absolutely.
I believe it started with the magazine, definitely.
Well, that's really the only place people could have their payphone photos printed and have anybody actually take it seriously. But what we found out back in, I guess it was in the 90s that this really started.
Yeah, how'd that emerge?
Well, someone sent in a payphone photo, and we said, hey, that's cool, and we decided to print it. And, you know, what's funny about that, and we learned this going through the archives and digitizing them, which is part of a whole big project we're involved in now.
Mm-hmm.
But we printed that on, I think, the inside back, inside front cover, I think we printed a payphone photo.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, we had gone color on the covers, but we didn't realize we could go color on the other side of the cover as well. And of course, we could, but it took us literally years to realize, hey, we could be printing these payphone photos in color.
Yeah.
And then we started doing that, and it really exploded at that point. Now, we're always imploring people to send us things, send us interesting pictures. Payphone photos by far, even to this day, when payphones are supposedly dead and being pulled out of their existence, wherever they happen to be, that is still the most popular thing that we have at the magazine, which is incredible. In fact, if you have a payphone photo that you'd like to send us anywhere in the world, payphones@2600.com. But, you know, we also love to get articles from people because that is how we learn what's going on. People out there are playing with all kinds of technology, and sometimes the technology is really low-tech as well, but you have a hacker mindset that's attached to that. And that's why we implore people to send us articles as well. And I know, you know, it's 2015 and nobody writes anymore. I hear that all the time. I hear nobody reads, nobody writes, everybody just communicates by text message, and I don't believe it. I don't believe it's true. I know there are exceptions out there, and if anybody qualifies to be an exception, it's a hacker. So please email us your articles, articles@2600.com. What's an article? An article is something where you basically focus on a particular device or operating system or telephone or anything that you have a passion about, and you tell us everything you can about it, and include all kinds of security holes, security exploits, ways that you can get around certain systems. If you know of a security operation that's going on as far as, say, TSA or something, and you have a secret password that will get you around all the security or something like that, it's probably not the best example, but send it to us. Because we believe in printing information like this. We're not going to hold it over people's heads and say, yeah, you can get this if you come to our seminar or if you become a client of ours. Yeah, we'll say, you know, buy the magazine and you'll get it that way, sure. But after it's out, whether you get the magazine or not. We believe in the information getting out there. So please, if you have this kind of knowledge and you can put pen to paper or finger to keyboard, articles@2600.com. If you have something shorter to say, and you want to join our infamous letters columnist group of people, which probably is in the thousands by now, letters@2600.com. It's magical. It continues to this day and beyond. And I know things are very troubled in the publishing world. Believe me, I know that. But this is something that I think is a tradition that we are going to carry on for a very long time. But payphones, yeah, payphones are right in front of everything.
That's always been something I loved about the magazine was it is fueled directly by its readers and its community. It's the articles are written by people who read the magazine. The articles are written by people with something to say who want to put it out there. And every time I've heard from somebody, you know, oh, you should write about subject XYZ in the magazine.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, you write about it because, you know, if you know about it and you want to share that knowledge, that's where 2600 gets its stuff. I mean, you're the editor and, you know, you write a bit in the beginning and stuff. But like the bulk of the magazine is fueled directly by the readers and the people who submit. And it's something that's that I still love about it is, you know, you pick up an issue from any point in its publishing history and you flip through it, and it's such a vivid picture of everything that was going on in all sorts of corners of the scene.
Mm-hmm.
What was going on socially, what was going on technologically, what was going on in the activism spheres or any of these sort of corners of it. It's a really good picture, and it's a good snapshot of whatever was going on.
And your ideas, your glint of insight is only real if it's portable, and in this language that happens to be English or some good prose. Use your words, you know, those letters, those articles are really crucial to moving dialogue, to getting other people's ideas involved, getting other eyeballs on certain systems, and really pushing the limits and also evolving the conversation and people's understanding and thinking around technology.
But your words don't have to be perfect. You know, if English is not your first language, or if you know you have some grammar issues, we generally correct all of that. It takes time, but if the content is of interest, that's what we really want to focus on. And there are so many people out there, couldn't do it without the readers. Absolutely not. And we shouldn't even try, because it would be rather presumptuous to assume that, yeah, we know everything about technology and we're just going to write about what we're told either through those press releases and PR pieces or by our own limited exposure to it. I mean, I could write about Android phones, but there are so many people that know so much more about it and can say all kinds of things that I would never even dream of exploring. That's what we want to see. We want to push the envelope a bit. So, again, articles at 2600.com and letters at 2600.com and payphones at 2600.com are ways you can contribute to the magazine.
212-209-2950.
That's how you can contribute,
calendar.
Yeah, to this radio station and keep this radio show and station on the air. And $50, you'll get a hacker calendar autographed.
212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. Support WBAI and Off the Hook and this kind of discussion.
And you could also go to give2wbai.org, and you can go for the calendar. You can go for other premiums that the station has, just some WBAI stuff. Just indicate that you're donating on behalf of Off the Hook, because donations count toward the particular show that brings them in, and that helps us out here and helps us keep this particular show on this particular station on the air. So 212-209-2950 or give2wbai.org, and it's not just during this show that we're broadcasting. You can go there anytime and support the station, support the show, help us keep doing what it is that we love to do.
Emmanuel.
Go ahead, Bernie.
I just want to say I want to congratulate you for the many years of documenting these payphone photos, or rather publishing them, or the readers to document the existence of these unusual payphones around the world. But you're putting them in the magazine, 2600 Magazine, the Hacker Quarterly, and now in the annual Hacker Calendar. I think this deserves merit. I mean, there is nobody else doing this, to my knowledge, and this is technology that connects people around the world. This payphones, believe it or not, they still exist around the world. But I have a question for you: is it a conscious decision to not publish the payphone's phone number in the magazine, or is it in the calendar? I just think it'd be neat to have the phone number along with the picture, although maybe the people who submit the pictures don't send you the phone number.
I don't recall an instance where someone has sent us the phone number along with the payphone. But you know, in most cases, if they did that in New York, it wouldn't work because they don't take incoming calls.
Right.
The idea really is to print the picture, not necessarily have the payphone rung into oblivion by people calling it wanting to speak to somebody interesting.
There's a caveat. I just say that we will consider talking about it if it's a part of why that phone is unique. If it's a part of the story, we will include it, and we've done that in the magazine a lot. We've talked about, you know, payphones that work for free of charge, different ways you can use a phone if it's part of why it is unique.
But we've never wiped out a phone number that might be visible. In fact, I think there are a couple of photos where somebody has written the phone number behind the phone in magic marker or something like that, And we don't edit any of that out.
It's,
you know, what drives me crazy watching various television programs these days is how much is digitized out. You know, they make that little digital jumbly image because they don't want you to see a logo on somebody's T-shirt. They don't want you to see somebody's face way off in the distance because they didn't get a signed certificate from that person or something like that. And, like, most of the things you're seeing these days are cut out in one way or another. So we try not to do that.
Yeah, we stick to pretty pure photography. We take it as it's given to us, and we do very, very little modifying of any of the photos.
Oh, and I know people out there are asking, sometimes I can sense when people are asking something en masse, how they can contribute to a future hacker calendar. Well, if you contribute to the payphone section of the magazine, you automatically are also entered into the hacker calendar possibility. So if your photos don't get printed in the magazine, they may show up in the hacker calendar. We notify you either way, and you get all kinds of cool things in exchange.
Well, just make sure you're if you've got a digital photo that it's high enough quality where we can print it, like not web resolution or anything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. Something that could be blown up and printed, and please don't pose in front of the payphone because while you might be an interesting person, it's not you that we want to print. It's the payphone. So make sure that it's just the payphone you take a picture of, not your darling little niece or something in front of you.
You can pose with it if just for yourself in a separate photo.
If you want to send us a photo of yourself, sure, go ahead. We're not going to stop you.
But we'll take anybody's photo of a payphone, and if they were willing to include themselves in it, that's fine. You can send it to us, but there's a myriad of things, guidelines that we could go over as far as what works and what doesn't, but suffice to say, do your best work and send it to us. We'd be happy to share it.
We have another premium that we are also offering. This is not one of our premiums. It's one of the station premiums, but we want people to call in regardless. And, you know, it's going to provoke a bit of an interesting conversation. It's a DVD. It's a documentary. It's an investigative documentary called Mobilize. It explores the potential long-term health effects from cell phone radiation, including cancer and infertility and all kinds of other fun things. The film examines the most recent scientific research, follows national legislative efforts, and illuminates the influence that technology companies have on public health. Mobilize features interviews with numerous doctors, politicians, cancer patients, and technology experts. Now, I know this is a controversial topic. Whenever we discuss it, some people are livid that it's all a bunch of nonsense. And there are other folks who are just as passionate, saying that we don't talk about it enough. I'm kind of on the fence myself, to be honest. I realize that we're using these devices more than we've ever used them before. And I think it's a bit presumptuous to say that, yeah, there's definitely no health effects from this. We know for sure. I don't think we know anything for sure, not at this early stage of the game. We haven't been using these things longer than, say, a decade in their current form. Now, I know they're low power. Okay, great. You know, it's probably better than holding a high power transmitter next to your head. But it's quite possible that something could be there that we don't know about yet. I'm always open to us being ignorant. Anyway, if you want a copy of this film to decide for yourself, please call 212-209-2950 and ask for the Mobilize DVD. That's for a pledge of $100. 212-209-2950. And now let the discussion on this premium begin. Bernie, how about you?
Well, I mean, I have my doubts, too, that cell phones can cause cancer. The key thing, it's not a matter of dispute, is that, yes, cell phones do emit radiation, but it's not the kind of ionizing radiation we are, you know, you get from an X-ray or something. This is just radio signals. No different than the WBAI emits from the top of the Empire State Building. It's about 4,000 watts, 4,300 to be specific. Cell phones emit radio signals anywhere from 800 to a couple thousand megahertz, and at extremely low power, a tiny fraction of a watt. But this radiation is no more different than radiation from, say, a light bulb as far as radiating. It's something radiating means something comes out of something. But people hear the word radiation, they think X-ray radiation, the kind that ionizing radiation that would cause people to get cancer. That's not the kind of radiation that we're talking about with cell phones. Whether non-ionizing radiation of the type that cell phones emit can cause cancer or not, the jury is still out, and I agree that the cell phone companies, the manufacturers, and the carriers all want to prevent people from from prevent people from being afraid to buy cell phones. But at the same time, I have yet to see a serious study that shows that they are dangerous. But the jury's still out. I haven't made up my mind yet.
Yeah, that's sort of what I think. Is the jury is still at lunch, and when they get back, maybe they'll have time to actually look at the evidence. The evidence is still coming in. This is, in the scheme of things, new technology. They said all kinds of things about how insecticide wasn't harmful and all kinds of other technology that turned out, or products that turned out to be very harmful. We just blithely went along. Cigarettes at one point. Doctors were recommending cigarettes back in the 1950s. That's not that long ago. I don't think it'll take a long time for the jury to come back with some evidence one way or another. But let's not close ourselves off to the discussion. And that's what we're talking about here. That's what we always talk about at WBAI. And that's why we agreed to offer this tonight, because it provokes discussion. Whether you agree with it or not, at least know what people are saying about it. And maybe you can come up with a really good argument against it, or maybe you'll be convinced and find more evidence. 212-209-2950. The film is called Mobilize. Ask for the Mobilize DVD, pledge of $100. And you'll have all kinds of controversial and exciting things to talk about.
Yeah, I, you know, the jury is still out, but
all right, let's stop saying the jury is out. All right,
The jury is way out. It's far out. It's so far out, man. But now, what I think about this is that okay, I have my feelings about the issue of cell phone radiation. I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think I'm worried about it. But at the same time, what I respect about this is the ability to have that discussion when the mainstream basically doesn't. And that's what we do here at WBAI. We give voices to people with concerns that might not be generally accepted or might not be fashionable or what have you. And we enable those discussions to continue to happen. And if you call 212-209-2950 or go to give2wbai.org and show your support for this station, you can help those discussions still happen. Whether or not you agree with them, that's something about this station is if you switch it on, whether it's something you agree with or whether it's something you disagree with, whether it's something that you think is completely sensible or something that you think is wackadoo, it's still something that that I think is interesting and worth putting out there just for the discussion value. And the venue that we have here is intensely precious and valuable, and if we lost nothing like this, would ever come up again to replace it. So 212-209-2950 or go to give2wbai.org. Show your support for this show, for this station, and help us keep doing what we do and help others on the station keep doing what they do and help the station keep existing.
Yeah, call in 212-209-2950 pledge your support for off the Hook and WBAI and one of these great gifts. I haven't seen this this disc about RF stuff, but it sounds fascinating. It's definitely something, you know, you should research instead of just, you know, buying a bunch of products, access points and handsets, well, stuff that do radiate stuff. You should look into it.
Nothing annoys me more than people who dismiss things out of hand. And, well, actually, maybe something does annoy me more than that, and that's hearing a position put forth without any kind of questioning whatsoever. So if we were to be saying that that Mobilize is gospel and this is a fact and you have to believe it and you're stupid if you don't, without allowing any kind of discussion, that would annoy me even more. And that's not what WBAI is about. We're about, well, at least that's not what we should be about. I know there might be exceptions, but we should be talking about controversial things and debating them and having opposite opinions. I don't mean crazy opinions, you know, I mean opinions that are logical, that have different ideas, different conclusions. There are all kinds, you know, this is how we wound up with the right wing in control for so long, is that we legitimize so many wacky viewpoints, and before you knew it, it became something legitimate, and Fox News was born. You know, we don't have to go down that road. We can have intelligent conversations about all manner of things.
That's what makes the hacker scene and what we do and this station such a good fit, is that the hacker mindset basically is about being inquisitive. It's about exploring. It's about doing what you can to learn all you can about something, whether or not it's you know, it's something that you're generally expected to question. And that's what this station does, and that's what we do. And so, you know, 212-209-2950, give2wbai.org. Help keep this going. I mean, this show has been on the air since the 1980s. This station has been on the air since the 1960s. And this is the only thing that has kept it on the air. You know, we don't have commercials on here. We don't tell you what brands of beverages to drink or anything like that. What we do tell you is simply that this radio that you're listening to, if you enjoy it, support it. Help it keep happening. 212-209-2950 or give to WBAI.org.
And if we see a flurry of calls come in, we are going to rack our brains and figure out how we can take your phone call on the air. Now, I should point out, we do not have the means to do that right now. This studio is not set up to do that. We have Bernie on the phone. Bernie, say hi.
Hi, I'm here, but we only have one line, and it's only for outgoing calls.
And you're on it. Yeah, there's absolutely no way you can share that line with anybody. Yeah, it's crammed. There's no room. So don't even try, folks. You're not going to get on the phone that way. We'll think of something else because we have technology here. We have all kinds of buttons and knobs and connectivity and various things like that. So it might not work. It might end in spectacular failure, but at least we're going to try because we have not talked to our listeners since we were in Harlem. And that's a long time ago. We have not heard the cheerful voices of our listeners. So we want to hear that tonight. We want to hear your voices. But first, we want to see your pledges. Now, we're not holding the show hostage. We're not, you know, doing anything like that. But if we don't get the calls we need, we will kill. Well, I guess that is sort of like a hostage thing, isn't it? Wait, that's a better way I can phrase that. If we don't get the calls that we want to get, it shows us that there's not enough support out there to continue the conversation and open up the phone lines and have a nice little dialogue with our listeners. So please, why don't you prevent that from happening and be nice and pledge to us. 212-209-2950. Now, you're not pledging ideology. You're not pledging your firstborn or anything like that. You're just pledging either $50 or $100 or $150 if you want both items. We have the Hacker Calendar autographed by Off the Hook staffers, and we have the Mobilize DVD all about the potential dangers of cell phone radiation. Yes, it makes a terrific gift. 212-209-2950 is our telephone number. We'd like to see people call in the moments ahead. Now, we are on for an extra hour tonight, so the first hour is rapidly coming to an end. But during that second hour, we would like to take phone calls and actually hear the cheery voices of our listeners. Wouldn't that be nice?
It would be nice. I miss that.
It's not that I'm tired of just hearing the same voices in on the radio all the time, but I would like to hear some new voices here. All right. And Bernie, hopefully you can hear the voices too, but we're not sure you'll be able to hear them. But at the very least, you'll be there.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Let's go ahead.
Oh, I said fair enough.
Okay. I think you're on some kind of delay. Are you?
Well, I've been turning the mute button on and off so you don't hear foghorns and seagulls here in Portland, Maine.
We want to hear foghorns and seagulls. Have you met us? Come on, of course. Sound effects. Let's hear them.
Okay, well, I'll leave the mute button off then because there's seagulls flying around here.
And foghorns.
And fog. There was just a big ship that blew a big horn.
But not foghorn leghorn.
Apparently not.
No, he's my favorite, y'all.
All right, moving on here. We do have listener mail, and sometimes we threaten to read it on the air, and this is one of those times we're going to do just that. We alluded to one before. We'll get to that in a moment. Our email address, oth@2600.com. Although this guy wrote to oth@2600.org, and it somehow got to us. I guess we own that domain as well. Hey, guys, I'm a frequent listener of the show. Just want to thank you for such a great program. Also, I want to know if you guys have watched the new USA Network series called Mr. Robot. If not, I highly recommend it. It's about hackers and hacking stuff, but without so much bull. And thank you, Ant-Man. No relation to the Marvel superhero, they claim. Well, thank you, Ant, for writing in. And you know what? Kyle and I actually did, based on many of our listeners writing in, we did sample that program on USA. I haven't watched USA Network in forever.
I know. I think MacGyver was the last show I watched on
well,
USA.
Well, that's not even from the USA Network. This is an original. I just didn't like the sound of watching the USA Network, even though USA probably doesn't even stand for United States of America. Does anybody know what USA originally stood for? It's probably one of those, like MSNBC stood for...
United Studio Artists.
No, CNBC is the one. Cable News and Business Channel, even though it's an NBC channel, the NBC didn't stand for NBC.
It doesn't.
And MSNBC probably stands for something else. So USA, who knows what it stands for? Point is, it's a channel I didn't watch very often. But a lot of listeners said,
a lot of people recommended the show.
Mr. Robot's a good show, they
said.
I don't
think it disappointed.
It's a good show. I agree. We've watched a few episodes now, and...
It's got its own aesthetic, its own pace, its own kind of feel. Now, definitely dark. It's a little kind of surreal in some ways, I think.
As it should. Life is dark. Life is surreal.
Yeah.
And life takes place in the Lower East Side, which is where a lot of this takes place.
You like
and
that, don't
Coney
you?
Island, too. Yeah, absolutely. It's really, it's well done. It's got the right mood to it. And I think it's, for the most part, there are a few things, but for the most part, it's technologically accurate.
It's very accurate. Yeah. Whenever they're working with machines, whatever they're doing is pretty well what you would be doing if you were trying to do what they were doing. So.
Now, we've watched CSI Cyber, so we know of what we speak.
Yeah, we know. We know the good stuff.
We've been to the other side of the mountain, and now we're coming back to the good side. And I think, hopefully, it's been renewed for another year, but hopefully it'll keep up the high quality we've seen so far. Rob, have you seen it?
I have not, but I've been told by many, many people that I should be
watching it. I'm telling you
so.
Right now, again, that yes, you should. How about you, Bernie?
I have not seen it yet. I watch very little television, but... if a TV was near me and it was on, I would watch it.
Okay, new rule. I think this should be something that everybody affiliated with the show should do, is watch every program having to do with hacking. I know that every program has to do with hacking.
Could we have a vote?
Every single program has a hacker in it someplace.
Could we vote?
But how about the shows that focus on hacking? I think, you know, so we know how bad they are or how good they are, and we can tell other people, because our listeners look to us for this information. And, you know, we were told by our listeners, thank you, listeners, for letting us know this.
We should be a cultural well of new and interesting stuff that we see coming on the horizon.
And speaking of listeners, you are listening to Off the Hook on WBAI New York. You are not listening to the Personal Computer Show because they are on vacation this week. I don't know where they wound up going off to. They go on these wild, extravagant trips, and we have to fill the gap that they leave behind. Okay, so that was a sound effect, Bernie.
Sorry about that. It was another phone ringing me.
Another phone? You have another phone? I've long suspected.
No, it wasn't mine. It was someone near me whose phone happened to ring.
Didn't sound like a seagull. Didn't sound like a foghorn. Sounded like a cell phone. Okay. Well, we're learning more and more. Did you guys have any more thoughts on television? Or
I will catch up on Mr. Robot because I am a connoisseur of hacker-themed entertainment, probably more than is good for me. So I will have to check this out now.
Yes. Yes, you will have to.
It definitely embellishes a little bit. I mean, it is not every story we've ever read in any kind of filtered sense, and mm-hmm. it's an amalgamation, right? It's not something I think you would take verbatim, but there are so many parallels and so many stories in there, and attitudes, ways of being, ways people are like involved in the community and involved with the media and the outside world. There's so many of those things that I think speak to and are instructive and really get to the heart of a lot of the issues we've covered in the past. So it's certainly, I think, something you want to go into with maybe a little critical eye. You mm-hmm. probably might know more about one thing or the other of things they cover, but it really does encapsulate a sentiment. It really does put things together in a pretty well thought through way. I mean, it lays it out.
I was surprised. I was actually very surprised by how well it did so far. I'm always waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yeah.
And there certainly are a lot of instances where that's not the case. I mentioned CSI Cyber. There's at least one other out there that really makes me retch when I see it. There are gems. Silicon Valley is a real funny program on HBO, which is worth tracking down as well. A lot of people in the technology world think it's too real, and they don't like it for that reason.
Yeah,
or they think it's too insulting.
But I have critiques. I mean, I don't like the main character in Mr. Robot that much. There, I said it.
Well, I mean, I think he's kind it's of... not about popularity in the hacker world, is it?
You know, no, it
times,
isn't.
The best hackers are the most unpopular people. So
I think he has a very irritating personality. But maybe that's the character building on me. You know, that's part of watching and experiencing stories like that.
I'm spending most of my time trying to figure out what subway line he's riding because it seems like a short line. It looks like a shuttle on the Lower East Side they used to run. I think it's got a red letter on it, which is also kind of weird
on
the old style trains. But that's the kind of thing I worry about.
Anyway, I think he's a little cocky.
Yeah. Rob?
So, is this show about somebody whose name is Mr. Robot?
Well, yes.
Let's
but
not
he's
give
not,
away too much.
He's not the protagonist. That's as much as I'll say.
Yet.
Okay.
That as far change. As I know. Maybe he is. I don't know. The person we follow and who experiences him is introduced to a Mr. Robot.
Okay, well, so you there know, is a title character.
There are the decent programs. You don't know who's going to make it to the next episode.
That's right.
And the last episode we saw, he very well might not have made it to the episode afterwards. It's possible. I don't know. Hey, hear that? Fire engines. We have sound effects, Bernie, because we don't have soundproofing in our make-do studios.
Are those, I think it's a seagull.
It's a seagull driving a fire engine. That's yes. what I thought.
No, it was a real fire truck going down Atlantic Avenue. That was that was exciting. Okay, also, Halt and Catch Fire. That's great.
Okay, yeah. So Silicon Valley, I think, is good and hilarious and spot on, and I love that people don't like it because it reminds them of themselves. But also, Halt and Catch Fire, very good, ish. But I think it lacked in some areas. You didn't feel it quite so. What?
Didn't care for it that much. I just didn't like anybody in it. And I know that shouldn't be a requirement for a program that you like people in it. I mean, one of our favorite shows, Happy-ish, got canceled because people didn't like the characters. But
yeah.
It was supposed to be annoying characters
right.
dealing with annoying things. But lots of times people don't get that. It was brilliantly written, though. That was the important thing. Halt and Catch Fire is not brilliantly written. I'm sorry. It doesn't excite me.
Yeah.
And the characters don't excite me.
I liked a little bit of the retro stuff, but the cohesion of the group, the way they interacted, just, I mean, there were some pretty decent individual mm-hmm. characters, but it didn't come together that well. And the aesthetic was, again, it was very dark, kind of dingy 70s. I don't really like that.
For those who don't know, anyway. That's it's about the early days of the microcomputer revolution.
Yeah, early generic,
developing,
I guess,
a new product, being first
X86,
at a conference to have this particular item.
Totally, yeah.
All the things that don't excite me at all, but you can make things that are unexciting interesting if you do it right.
They carry it really well. I mean, the story, they push it along, and it shows cool topics and cool equipment, and really the dawn of that kind of semiconductor, you know, early microchips and all the stuff that really sped up the rate of development and research, because people were able to then cheaply use these machines, and it just built from there. So in that sense, I think it's really important history, and it's cool to watch a bit of a drama about it. But I don't know, that I'm with you a little bit. I think the characters, like the one guy, reminded me of the American Psycho main character or something. He was like supposed to be the Steve Jobs type. I forget what his name was, but he was too polished.
That's the thing, I forget everybody's name.
He was
on
too
it.
Slick, and he was like, I was waiting for that to like wear off. It was the whole series. He
yeah.
was just this like slick sales guy that I just hated. Anyway, but that's the cool thing, to be critical and watch it. You
yeah,
know?
This is our occasional critique on hacker programs on television. And like to hear your feelings, oth@2600.com. Or, hey, you could even call us in a few minutes when we tell you how to do that.
And tell us about other shows. If you see other media out there about
yes,
hackers,
please.
About your community, maybe some local programming, maybe you've made a show yourself with your friends, you have stories to tell about hacking, about technology, about maybe some legal stuff that you've run into in your time. Share that's really, really critical. It's so fascinating to get turned on to new programming, new storytelling, new channels and places where people are doing some of that storytelling, and then we will in turn share it with the rest of with our audience and other people that would benefit from checking it out too. So, and that helps the discussion about what hackers are, helps us define our ideology and tell our story in as accurate a way as possible, instead of other people telling our stories badly.
All right. Again, the phone number to donate, 212-209-2950. We have the Hacker Calendar, 2016 Hacker Calendar. Filled with hacker dates and payphone photos. That's for a pledge of $50. It's also autographed by all of us here at Off the Hook. For a pledge of $100, you'll get a copy of Mobilize, the DVD documentary about the dangers of cell phone radiation. You can believe it, you cannot believe it, but it's important to open yourself up to the conversation. That's the best way I can describe it. That's for a pledge of $100, 212-209-2950. Let's read another letter. Then, hopefully, we'll get some phone calls, and then we can figure out how to take phone calls on the air. Here is a listener that wrote to us, telling us that he disagrees with promoting hacktivism in the manner that you do. And this is what happens. He said, when hackers take liberties with morality, and points us to the recent hack involving Planned Parenthood. You guys familiar with this? This is basically...
They had a bunch of conversations leaked that had been videotaped. They were like a dinner or a lunch with somebody who
That's something else. That's a videotape that got heavily edited and...
Oh, this is the takedown and
released,
and
but their
internal
their,
stuff.
Their website was hacked. It was, I believe, last Sunday night.
Okay.
A group of hackers who apparently opposed the healthcare nonprofit's abortion practices released Planned Parenthood's website databases, as well as names and email addresses of the organization's employees. Anyway, I'll get to that story in a second. Let me finish this letter. You have been radicalizing people I know who are now currently in prison. That's signed Angelo. That was the letter I alluded to earlier. We were accused of radicalizing people.
Yes.
So now, this is a hard subject to respond to. I'm not sure if he's accusing us of radicalizing the kind of people that hacked Planned Parenthood, or if we're radicalizing the kind of people that hack Stratfor or all kinds of other organizations out there. But I think we've always said on these airwaves that there are good hacks and there are simplistic hacks. And I think, you know, just denial of service attacks are not the best hacks in the world. That basically just shuts up your opponent or somebody that you want to wipe off the net. Releasing people's private information, never really a nice thing to do. But going into a site and uncovering scandals and basically showing public policy, governments, corporations, things like that, things that affect all of us, that's almost a responsibility. If you can figure out a way to get that information, you should get that information. I don't know if that's radicalizing. I know that might step outside some people's boundaries. But we've always pretty much said to people that just shutting something down is not really a legitimate hack. And in fact, that kind of thing will be used against you when somebody disagrees with something you say. It doesn't get us anywhere. And that's at least that's my viewpoint as far as how that goes.
I think my attitude, and just in reading that and hearing that, I mean, I think I would say, yeah, I mean, we would accept that characterization as radicalizing people to be radical, right? To speak their minds, to think critically, to stand up when there is wrong going on around them and no one else is doing anything about it.
So you're okay owning the word radicalized as long as it means something?
I think we should own that. I mean, I think running away and saying, like, you know, trying to defend ourselves, I think definitely we do. We should accept that on a certain level. What I don't think we should bear the responsibility for is people messing up or doing things, you know, badly themselves. I mean, we're not telling people specifically what to do in any particular context. If they make up some plan themselves and do something, I think that's on them, because that's correlation without causation. I don't know. We haven't. You're trying to tie us into some individual friend that maybe decided, oh yeah, I love hacking now, and now I'm going to do this. Your interpretation of that as hacking, I think, really drags us into stuff we have absolutely no control over. You know, if people are inspired, that's great. But if they are inspired and then do something that is hurtful or wrong, that we ourselves wouldn't really participate